This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the 3-1. Cronenworth swings, lines it into right field in a base hit. Merrill comes in to score. Bogaerts is being waved. He's going to score. Ball ends up at the base of the wall. Cronenworth ends up at second base. A two-run double and a 6-3 lead here in the seventh.
Great start to opening day for the Padres. They rally for a 6-3 victory, 6-4 victory over the San Francisco Giants. I knew I was going to forget that last run that Suarez gave up in the ninth inning. It didn't seem to matter too much. 6-4 was the final. Padres, a successful opening day, and a lot of people hanging around at Petco Park for the watch party as this great sports day continues on into the evening. Aztecs and UConn, they have about 7 minutes to go in the first half. Right now, 29-21 UConn over San Diego State. Welcome into Gwen and Chris, everybody. Not a short show today. Normally, we would get done at 6 o'clock, but we are going to hang with you all the way through the Aztec game. And then for a little while after the Aztec game, Scraby and I plan on digging in until 8 o'clock this evening. Although you don't know this yet, Scraby. But I've already determined that from 6 to 7, while I'm watching the Aztec game in the second half, it'll be the Scraby Chronicles. You're just going to do your show. I will add a comment or two along the way.
You know what's
funny?
But
it is my plan, if the Aztecs have a chance in the second half, to be sitting here by you, but not paying much attention to you.
No, that's okay. I actually figured this was going to happen. I've been thinking about this as well.
If they have a chance, and right now, and we're going to talk all Padres. I know everybody wants to talk opening day, but I am an Aztec for life. So it's difficult when your team gets to the Sweet 16 and the game's going on. But UConn is so far everything that's advertised, right? I mean, they're hitting over 50%. They're knocking in all of their threes. They never foul anybody. They dominate the glass.
They're playing great defense.
They're not giving you any shots.
Jaden Ledee is settling for threes right now.
Yeah, well, he made one, but he's got 11 points. That's about it right now for the Aztecs. They need, obviously, other guys to contribute. And, but UConn looks great. They jumped out to an 11-point lead, and the Aztecs are trying to hang with them. I will say this. UConn did not trail at all in the first two games of the tournament. The Aztecs did have a brief 10-9 lead.
You know what I like? Yeah,
at the first
that.
Break.
I like that.
So that was something to be said.
Looking for the positives.
I'm trying. UConn looks everything. You know, I wish UConn looked like Arizona, because Arizona looks terrible. And they're down. They do. They looked absolutely terrible to start the game. Didn't look like they were ready to play. And Clemson took immediate advantage of that and has hung on to a nice 8-point lead for Clemson at halftime, 39-31 in the other Sweet 16 game. I can hear my wife right now going, "You're sleeping on the couch."
Why?
Because I was the one that told her to change her bracket.
Oh, yes. I keep asking you why, and I know the answer.
She picked Clemson to win it all in her first bracket, and I made her change it.
Yes, you did.
And now Clemson is one half away from getting to the Elite Eight. They look terrific.
They do.
And Arizona just looks dead. Arizona is not playing any defense at all. Very little effort. Throwing up 3-point shots. Hoping they go in. Missing foul shots. Anyway, Clemson probably should lead by more than they do if you're watching that game. 39-31 Clemson, 29-21 UConn over the Aztecs.
23.
Right. 29-23. All right, don't do that to me. Because if you're going to update every basket, then I won't be able to do a show at all. I'll have no chance.
That might be the good thing for me to do.
Don't do it. Okay. I can't. Otherwise, I'll just watch the game.
I won't.
Otherwise, I'll just watch the game because I'm going to try not to watch the game. I'm going to try to, you know, make a decent show out of this. We've got people listening.
Come on.
We've got people listening who want to talk Padre baseball today. We're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to celebrate opening day. It was a beautiful day out at Petco Park. I mean, Chamber of Commerce afternoon out there.
Postcard afternoon.
I got to tell you, the grounds crew, I don't normally open with them.
No,
but just
huh?
Do you? No. Do we normally talk about the grounds crew?
But, never.
You know, when you walked into Petco Park today, or you turned on the game on television, whatever it was, I think the first thing everybody saw was that heart with the PS initials in center field.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was
huge.
The first thing that drew your attention.
Yep.
And it was a beautiful tribute, as was the entire day, to Peter Seidler. And I thought that struck the exact right note. That was the first thing I noticed when I, you know, watched the game today. And I'm sure when you walked into Petco, everybody saw the same thing. Beautiful heart logo, the PS cut into the grass and center field.
I watched for a long time as they made that.
It wasn't just little rinky-dink PS either. It was a beautiful tribute to a great owner. And so I thought that started the day off right. The weather was perfect. And then, you know, the Padres did a bunch of things that they didn't do last year. I mean, this is what, you know, it's three games. So I'm not going to overreact, but let's overreact. Why not? The Padres are currently, this is ridiculous, Scraby. They are 17-41 through three games with runners in scoring position. That is a .415 batting average.
No. You did that wrong, Chris.
I did not.
Oh, really?
.415? I did not do it wrong. I went back and looked at all three box scores. They are hitting .415 with runners in scoring position so far this season. Now, what'd they hit last year? .115?
Yeah, not good.
I mean, I don't know. It wasn't that bad. But you know what I'm saying?
It seemed like they never
got a hit with runners in scoring position. Today, they got four more hits with runners in scoring position. That wins the ball game. And I listened to a lot of Sam Levitt's post-game show while I was in here watching the Aztecs. And Sammy, you know, he stole my thunder, but he saw the same thing that I saw. And that was another thing this team did today that they didn't do a whole lot of last year. Great base running. Great base running. And I'm a student enough of the game to understand that when you can go to first to third on base hits and you're Manny Machado, you're the cleanup hitter, you're on first base hit to center field, and you're taking third, that's winning baseball. And Wade did the same thing later in the game, or Campusano, somebody like that. I don't remember, but you know what I mean?
Campusano did it.
Yeah. I mean, it's your catcher.
Yep.
Going from first to third. He's not a fast runner, but that's great base running. And Wade stealing second, and, you know, the ball bouncing away, and Campusano comes in to score. The base running was really good today, and it was aggressive but smart. And these are the hitting with runners in scoring position are two things we didn't get a whole lot of last year. So that was the thing that I really liked the most. You know, really happy for Jake, you know, because so many people were down on him coming into this season.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what's funny? Nobody's down on him now.
No, he's got six RBIs on the year.
I didn't say anything. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I have the receipts.
Right? Yes, we have the receipts. Jake Cronenworth is off to a really nice start, and that two-run double kind of put the game away. It was the only extra base hit the Padres had. And you know, Scraby, I still like people to get off my lawn. I'm still old school enough to appreciate baseball played the way I love to see it played. And that is draw a walk, base hit, go first to third, sacrifice fly, ground ball, move the runners up, steal a base. The Padres, in a lot of ways, manufactured all six of their runs today.
They did.
They had one double, and that was basically a ground ball down the right field line that went to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hit by Cronenworth. That was the only extra base hit they had, but they still scored six. And, you know, I just was really happy to see a bunch of stuff happen today that we haven't seen a lot of. So it's not only a 6-4 win, but it was, you know, well done today by the Padres. And on the other side, hey, how did Bob Melvin get received? I didn't see his introduction.
Here's the problem with this.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
So I waited in the press box next to Ben Higgins for an hour before the game. Just waiting for this
waiting
moment.
To hear Bob Melvin get introduced?
There was no indication that they were going to introduce people, so I got up to go get coffee.
Oh, no. You
and
missed
he gets
it?
Introduced, and I wasn't there, but I was filled in by everyone that he got some steady booze.
Steady booze.
Yeah.
Okay, well, those are misplaced, and we all know that they're misplaced.
Yeah.
If you want to blame Bob Melvin for everything that happened last season, go right ahead. But remember that he was the same guy who led them to the championship the year before. Bob Melvin is a good dude. He's a good baseball guy. And I, you know, even though I'm, you know, looking at this from the Padres side, one thing I was really excited to see, a sacrifice bunt today
Ooh.
By the Giants. And it led to their go-ahead runs in the seventh inning. The whole game was played well today. That's what I liked about it.
It was clean. Yeah,
it was a clean game. There was a throwing error on the stolen base. Lee, the young player from from Korea, got picked off. Darvish just, you know, made him look silly on that.
He did. He really did.
But other than that, I mean, this game was played the way baseball's supposed to be played. Logan Webb did not figure in the decision. Do you know that he threw a first pitch strike to the first 11 batters of the game?
I was there. It was incredible.
That is great pitching. That's what you're supposed to do. Get out ahead of hitters. Don't walk people. Keep the game moving. You know, Webb gets the ball and he throws it. I love watching that guy pitch. I'm glad I don't have to hit against him. But, you know, this was great. And the Padres, offensively, they made adjustments to what Webb was doing, which was throwing first pitch strikes, right? First time through the order, every guy. So what did they do the second time?
Jump on it.
Swung at the first pitch.
Yep.
Be ready. He's coming in. Let's go. Padres did a nice job of adjusting. Darvish did a good job getting out of trouble. Matsui was, you know, somewhat heroic with his five outs in the seventh and eighth inning to, you know, keep the Giants from getting more runs and then, you know, holding on to the lead in the eighth. And Suarez, hey, he threw nine pitches, eight were strikes. You can't ask for anything better from your closer. And if you give up a two-out, bases-empty home run with a three-run lead, nobody hurt.
Yeah.
Nobody hurt. He grooved one, said, here, hit it.
And he did.
Conforto hit it. Good for him. Guess what? Padres still got the win because Suarez came in throwing strikes.
He did.
So it was a good day all the way around.
That is, you nailed it. You nailed the game today felt very different than any game we watched last year. And you even heard Xander Bogaerts. We'll play the interview with Xander Bogaerts and Sam from after the game a little bit later. But Xander Bogaerts even said, you know, when we went down or when they tied it up, I was thinking, oh, no, here we go again. But that's not this team, it doesn't seem like. And I know we're only three games in. I got people on the chat saying, let's be consistent. But let's enjoy this right now.
Well, how are we not being consistent? What do you mean?
The team needs to be
consistent. I thought we needed to be consistent.
No, not us. No.
No, I'm going to overreact.
Let's overreact.
Why not?
Oh, Cosgrove looked awesome, too.
What else do we got to do? Let's overreact.
We need to, because you know what? We didn't get to do this at all last year.
Well, we probably did. We just don't remember it.
Well, and when we did, it was empty and hollow because we knew
the season was heading down. The season was spiraling out of control.
I don't know if you know this, Chris, but Juan Soto is just like an ultimate fielder right now. So
he's
a superstar.
We will talk about Juan Soto's exploits today on opening day for the Yankees. We'll talk about what the Dodgers did on opening day. They had their big star. Shining, and we'll look throughout Major League Baseball, and we'll keep you up to date with the Aztec game. I'll try to watch and do the show at the same time, but we'll be here till 8 o'clock. We don't have a lot planned, really, which means
Seriously. You
can call in and share your thoughts on opening day, whether it be the pregame festivities, whether it be the tribute to Peter Seidler, whether it be the game itself. 833-288-0973. Gwynn and Chrisello, Scraby together. Odyssey Palace Studios underway. San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the old sports information director at San Diego State, Mike May. Remember Mike May, Scraby?
Yes, I do.
Good guy.
Yeah.
He used to call him the GLA.
Okay.
You know what that stands for?
No.
Gutty Little Aztecs.
Oh, okay.
And they're trying against UConn, but UConn's just not missing. Unbelievable. This guy, Cam Spencer, he's like their ninth option. He's got 16 points. He's 3-for-4 from three. He's just given UConn a 9-point lead. Right before halftime, Aztecs final possession. Tramiel misses. And UConn will throw one up from half court. It'll probably go in.
Oh, I thought
almost
it was
did
for a second.
So they are at the half.
They're playing volleyball with their tall guys, and I'm very annoyed by this.
They got 12 offensive rebounds, UConn does, and that goes along with them not missing a shot. So whenever they finally do miss one,
they get the rebound.
They get the rebound. It's honestly, what I've seen from this game, and they just went to halftime, I'm surprised the Aztecs are as close as they are.
Me too.
Jaden Ledee has 15 points, but he had two fouls, so he had to sit out the rest of the half. Butler got two fouls. Tramiel got two fouls. UConn doesn't ever get called for a foul. I know they had six. It didn't seem like they ever got called for one. And the Aztecs, brilliant 3-point shooting from the second round, so far has not been there. They're 3-of-13.
They can't get the ball inside
from the arc.
And then when Jaden Ledee gets the ball, he has been shooting from outside where he usually does, which is right under the basket.
Well, he's 7 out of 10. I mean, he's just
consistent.
No, I'm going to overreact.
Let's overreact.
Why not?
Oh, what Cosgrove else? Looked awesome too.
What else do we got to do? Let's overreact.
We need to, because you know what? We didn't get to do this at all last year.
Well, we probably did. We just don't remember it.
And when we did, it was empty and hollow because we knew
the season was heading down. The season was spiraling out of control.
I don't know if you know this, Chris, but Juan Soto is just like an ultimate fielder right now. So
I know.
He's a superstar.
We will talk about Juan Soto's exploits today on opening day for the Yankees. We'll talk about what the Dodgers did on opening day. They had their big star shining, and we'll look throughout Major League Baseball, and we'll keep you up to date with the Aztec game. I'll try to watch and do the show at the same time, but we'll be here till 8 o'clock. We don't have a lot planned, really, which means
Seriously. You
can call in and share your thoughts on opening day, whether it be the pregame festivities, whether it be the tribute to Peter Seidler, whether it be the game itself. 833-288-0973. Gwynn and Chrisello, Scraby together, Odyssey Palace Studios underway. San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, the old sports information director at San Diego State, Mike May. Remember Mike May, Scraby?
Yes, I do.
Good guy.
Yeah.
He used to call him the GLA.
Okay.
You know what that stands for?
No.
Gutty Little Aztecs.
Oh, okay.
And they're trying against UConn, but UConn's just not missing. Unbelievable. This guy, Cam Spencer, he's like their ninth option. He's got 16 points. He's 3-for-4 from three. He's just given UConn a 9-point lead. Right before halftime, Aztecs final possession. Tramiel misses. And UConn will throw one up from half court. It'll probably go in.
Oh, I thought
almost
it was
did
for a second.
So they are at the half.
They're playing volleyball with their tall guys, and I'm very annoyed by this.
They got 12 offensive rebounds, UConn does, and that goes along with them not missing a shot. So whenever they finally do miss one,
they get the rebound.
They get the rebound. It's honestly, what I've seen from this game, and they just went to halftime, I'm surprised the Aztecs are as close as they are.
Me too.
Jaden Ledee has 15 points, but he had two fouls, so he had to sit out the rest of the half. Butler got two fouls. Tramell got two fouls. UConn doesn't ever get called for a foul. I know they had six. It didn't seem like they ever got called for one. And the Aztecs' brilliant three-point shooting from the second round so far has not been there. They're 3 of 13.
They can't get the ball inside
from the arc.
And then when Jaden Ledee gets the ball, he has been shooting from outside where he usually does, which is right under the basket.
Well, he's 7 out of 10. I mean, he's moment and then some. This offseason, making sure that this season is not like last season. And, you know, Tony's told me and told us on the show, he's changed his hands, he's changed his whatever his stand. I don't all this
he's
stuff.
He's trying.
Stuff that I don't really get, you know, the X's and O's. But, you know, just to me, you see the ball, hit the ball. But Jay Cronenworth's changing and doing things in order to make sure he has a better season. I think it's interesting that Mike Schilt is batting him third in the lineup. Here's why. He batted third one time last year, the entire season. Now you're taking him in the three spot is about as important a spot as there is in the lineup. And that's where he's at, coming off a 229 season. So Mike Schilt, I don't think would put him there just hoping that he would get hot. I think he put him there because he's seeing something that makes him believe that he should be there.
What did he say to Sam Levitt multiple times in the offseason or at spring training? He was vulnerable with himself in the offseason, trying to find the places that he needs to improve. And he had to do some soul searching.
Well,
and that did some good.
Far, 5 for 12, 417, 6 RBIs, had the two-run double today that kind of put the game out of sight for the Padres. And, I'm pretty happy for Jay Cronenworth. It wasn't for a hole in his glove, it'd be a perfect start to the season.
I've already forgotten about
Glovegate. Have you forgotten about Glovegate now?
Well, because they're 2-1 now.
Yeah.
Jay Cronenworth leading the team in RBIs.
They should be 3-0. It wasn't for Glovegate.
You're right. Okay, fine. I am mad about Glovegate.
Me too.
Now. Mad about it.
Mad as hell, and I'm not going to take Glovegate anymore.
Jeff says third is not the right place for him. I'm sure they are waiting for Merrill to heat up, get confident, and then move him up in the order. But if Jay's going to be hitting like this, they're not going to move him anywhere.
No, they're not. Number one. Number two, they're not going to put a 20-year-old rookie in the number three spot. That's not going to happen. Maybe at the second half of the season if he's hitting 420. All right?
Well, if he's hitting 420,
he'll move up.
He'll move
up. You know what? They're going to leave him down where he is because that keeps the pressure off of him. You don't want to put him in the middle of the lineup and ask him to do everything yet. He's 20 years old. He's learning a new position. Relax. That's
relax.
Not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I met his parents today on the TV broadcast.
Oh, I was like, what?
Bob Scanlon
did. You were there?
Bob Scanlon did an entire inning interview with his parents.
Those were his parents. Okay,
yes,
I was in the press box and we were all watching. We were wondering who they were.
That was his parents, and I love Bob Scanlon. You know that. I don't know that I'd give him the whole inning for an interview, though. The whole inning.
Well, no, that's how they do things.
The whole inning?
Well, remember when Fernando in the spring training game where the inning was like 35
minutes? That's ESPN. That's a different thing. This is a quote, sideline reporter going into the crowd, interviewing two people, Jackson Merrill's parents, for the entire inning that the Giants were at bat.
So there's no Don and Mudd talking?
None.
Oh.
It was, hi, welcome back to Petco. I'm with Jackson Merrill's parents. And they did the whole interview, the whole inning. I was a little surprised by that. Now, when Eric Grubner then, the next half inning, went up into the booth, Don and Mudd interviewed him for a whole half inning, but at least they're kind of
calling
the game as they interview Eric Grubner. I think that was kind of weird, having Scanlon go a whole half inning. And I almost felt like the parents were getting a little bit like trying to look over their shoulder and watch the game as they were answering question after question after question.
Someone on YouTube says for a game in June, yes, but opening day it should, or but not for opening day. Like a game in June, yes, go for a full inning.
Maybe
opening
so.
Day.
Yeah. Well, the other thing though, this is what they do on opening day. There's all kinds of fanfare and stuff. This is why Tony Gwynn and his son don't like opening day. Because there's too much other stuff going on besides baseball.
Tomorrow is the real opening day.
Tomorrow's Tony Gwynn opening day, people.
You know what, Chris? Let's take another phone call, and then we got to get to break because we do have two more breaks.
This is my fault.
I just let me go. I just did the math.
Crazy. Kelly, welcome to the show.
I don't think it's Brandon.
Oh, Brandon. Brandon Kelly? I don't know. Phone says Kelly on there. Sorry, Brandon. Hello.
All right. Well, hung up.
Lost them. How about Jim in Lakeside? Jim?
Hey, guys. For your Odyssey app, try and reset your location for all the listeners out there.
Okay.
But I've kind of thought the plate discipline for Jackson on his third, I think it was his third at bat, to lay off that pitch to get the walk. I mean, for a 20-year-old on opening day, I thought that was magnificent.
Was that like a 9-pitch at bat, 8-pitch at bat, something like that?
I mean, put yourself in his place. I mean, Chris, you played at San Diego State. Can you imagine that on opening day?
Yeah, and you're facing a pretty good pitcher. I mean, Logan Webb is a Cy Young, you know, caliber guy. Jackson Merrill has shown that through three games, and I didn't look at all of his spring training at bats because I don't place a lot of stock in that. I'm sure they do. Mike Schilt and the coaches, they look at what he's done. But what I've seen right away, this guy has the ability to have good takes, which means close pitches that he's not swinging at, and foul off pitches. He's really good at that. And thanks to Bob Scanlon's lengthy interview, his dad talked about the fact that he and Jackson, as they were working his way up, used to work on fouling off tough pitches.
See, there you go. The interview worked.
Bob Scanlon with the insight.
You just used a nugget of information from it.
That's right. So, yeah, I agree with you, Jim. Merrill has done nothing to, you know, dissuade anybody from, you know, having earned this job. And, you know, terrific. I mean, he had, you know, 0-for-2, but that walk was a big deal. It was a big part of the rally in the seventh inning. So,
Jim, what were you saying about the app? Go ahead one more time with that.
Scraby wants to hear that again.
You can go to general settings, update your location, and then after you do that, go ahead and power cycle your phone, and it'll change from when it pinged from the last server, the last tower.
Okay. I love this information, Jim.
That normally helps.
We need you as our tech guy all the time.
No kidding, Jim.
Everybody, go into your phone right now. Go to general settings and reset your location. And then turn off your phone and turn it back on. There you go.
Jim just solved everybody's problems. Jim, you're terrific. We should give him a prize or something. That was important that stuff was right there.
Well, I...
Thank you, Jim.
I feel like maybe I come off a little too angry about this stuff, but I literally get asked questions.
You get asked endlessly. I mean,
Look,
Mark Grant, you could hear him on the telecast today. When they put it up on the screen to where all the TV stuff is this year, Mark Grant said, for all you people who keep asking me in Alpine, take a picture of this.
So it's not just me?
This is the answer.
So it's not just me?
Yes. He said, I've been asked a million times and
But that makes sense. He's on TV.
But he didn't know. He wasn't privy to all that information until they worked it out.
Exactly.
So you're on the radio. You should know. But you're not privy to all that stuff.
I know our schedule.
I understand
that. I know where to send people.
You didn't know how to work the Odyssey app, changing the tower. Took Jim in Lakeside to save the day.
Brandon also says MLB Radio is $3 a month, and you can listen to Jesse and Tony in all the games.
That's
$3 a month isn't too bad. I mean,
$21 a year.
Baseball season 7 months?
Yeah. All right. You said take a break. Clemson 54, yes. Arizona 51. So Arizona caught up. Then Clemson's gone back ahead by 3. Still 11 minutes to go. Aztecs are still at halftime, trailing UConn 40-31. We're here for a while. So if you want to talk, 833-288-0973 is the Padres win opening day over the Giants 6-4 on 97.3 The Fan. Scraby and I are going absolutely crazy here. Watching the Aztecs try to get a rebound.
It's pretty brutal.
They can't get a rebound!
The guy's like 9 feet tall, Chris.
He is huge. He looks bigger than Zach Edey.
He does.
And I know he's not taller, but he's bigger. Clinging the big center. I mean, he gets his hand on every rebound, and they get the ball. The Aztecs, you know, stop them. And then they just get shot after shot after shot. Oh, my goodness. It's frustrating. It's hard to watch a team that's better than you. And you're just, you know, you're hoping against hope you can do something.
They are scratching and clawing the Aztecs.
They're GLA-ing. They're gutty little Aztec-ing. But they're still down by 10, 16 minutes to play. 45-35, now 47-35. Meanwhile, Clemson holding off Arizona. 61-57, 8:40 to go in that game. Padres beat the Giants 6-4 opening day at Petco Park. Was a beautiful day and a beautiful scene. And the honoring of Peter Seidler was handled with class and aplomb. And then the Padres went out and played a nice ball game. Rallied from behind twice, which I like. Everybody seemed to like everything about it today, right?
I mean, it was amazing.
The way they scored runs, the way they manufactured runs. They got hits with runners in scoring position. They ran the bases incredible today. And, you know, defense was good. Pitching was good. Everything was good.
Everything
just what you
good.
Want. And Padres go to 2-1 on the season. Elsewhere, Juan Soto is the hero of the Big Apple, at least for one night. Threw out the potential tying run at the plate in the bottom of the ninth inning. All of a sudden, Juan Soto, now known for his right field exploits, comes up with the play of the day for the Yankees. They hold off the Astros 5-4. Soto is 1-for-3 with an RBI in the ballgame. Osvaldo Cabrera, replacing the injured DJ LeMahieu, hit a home run for the Yankees in this ballgame.
All right.
So 5-4. Josh Hader pitched for the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Top of the ninth inning, struck out the side, but that just kept it a 5-4 game. So he was not in a save situation. For those of you who wonder, will Josh Hader pitch in non-save situations now that he's an Astro? Answer apparently is yes.
I mean, he did so last today. Year, but the
not
four
too
out
often.
Save. The four
not
out
too
save.
Often. Dodgers 7-1 over the Cardinals today. This was all Dodgers from the get-go. Betts homered in the third inning. Freddie Freeman homered in the third inning. Betts already got 8 RBIs.
I know.
In 3 games. And Dodgers rolled. Glass now 6 innings, allowed just 2 hits and 1 run. The Cardinals had 3 hits in this game, all of them by Paul Goldschmidt.
Good for him.
He had them all and a home run.
So the Cardinals haven't solved their problems yet.
Not yet. All right, the old sports information director at San Diego State, Mike May. Remember Mike May, Scraby?
Yes, I do.
Good guy.
Yeah.
He used to call him the GLA.
Okay.
You know what that stands for?
No.
Gutty Little Aztecs.
Oh, okay.
And they're trying.
They are.
Against UConn, but UConn's just not missing. Unbelievable. This guy, Cam Spencer, he's like their ninth option. He's got 16 points. He's 3-for-4 from 3. He's just giving UConn a 9-point lead. Right before halftime, Aztecs final possession. Tramiel misses. And UConn will throw one up from half court. It'll probably go in.
Oh, I thought
almost
it was
did.
For a second.
So they are at the half.
They're playing volleyball with their tall guys, and I'm very annoyed by this.
They got 12 offensive rebounds, UConn does, and that goes along with them not missing a shot. So whenever they finally do miss one,
they get the rebound.
They get the rebound. It's honestly, what I've seen from this game, and they just went to halftime, I'm surprised the Aztecs are as close as they are.
Me too.
Jaden Ledee has 15 points, but he had 2 fouls, so he had to sit out the rest of the half. Butler got 2 fouls. Tramiel got 2 fouls. UConn doesn't ever get called for a foul. I know they had 6. It didn't seem like they ever got called for one. And the Aztecs, brilliant 3-point shooting from the second round, so far has not been there. They're 3-of-13.
They can't get the ball inside
the arc.
And then when Jaden Ledee gets the ball, he has been shooting from outside where he usually does, which is right under the basket.
Well, he's 7 out of 10. I mean, he's moment. And then some this offseason, making sure that this season is not like last season. And, you know, Tony's told me and told us on the show, he's changed his hands, he's changed his whatever his stand. I don't, all this
he's
stuff.
He's trying.
Stuff that I don't really get, you know, the X's and O's. But, you know, just to me, you see the ball, hit the ball. But Jay Cronenworth's changing and doing things in order to make sure he has a better season. I think it's interesting that Mike Schilt is batting him 3rd in the lineup. Here's why. He batted 3rd 1 time last year, the entire season. Now you're taking him, and the three spot is about as important a spot as there is in the lineup. And that's where he's at, coming off a 229 season. So Mike Schilt, I don't think would put him there just hoping that he would get hot. I think he put him there because he's seeing something that makes him believe that he should be there.
What did he say to Sam Levitt multiple times in the offseason or at spring training? He was vulnerable with himself in the offseason, trying to find the places that he needs to improve. And he had to do some soul searching. Well, and that did some good. Seems
so
like.
Far, 5 for 12, 417, 6 RBIs, had the two-run double today that kind of put the game out of sight for the Padres. And, yeah, I'm pretty happy for Jake Cronenworth. It wasn't for a hole in his glove, it'd be a perfect start to the season.
I've already forgotten about
Glovegate. Have you forgotten about Glovegate now?
Well, because they're 2-1 now.
Yeah.
Jake Cronenworth leading the team in RBIs.
They should be 3-0. It wasn't for Glovegate.
If you're right. Okay, fine. I am mad about Glovegate.
Me too.
Now. Mad about it.
Mad as hell, and I'm not going to take Glovegate anymore.
Jeff says third is not the right place for him. I'm sure they are waiting for Merrill to heat up, get confident, and then move him up in the order. But if Jay's going to be hitting like this, they're not going to move him anywhere.
No, they're not. Number one. Number two, they're not going to put a 20-year-old rookie in the number three spot. That's not going to happen. Maybe at the second half of the season if he's hitting 420. All right?
Well, if he's hitting 420,
he'll move up. You know what? They're going to leave him down where he is because that keeps the pressure off of him. You don't want to put him in the middle of the lineup and ask him to do everything yet. He's 20 years old. He's learning a new position. Relax. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I met his parents today on the TV broadcast.
Oh, I was like, what?
Bob Scanlon
did. You were there?
Bob Scanlon did an entire inning interview with his parents.
Those were his parents. Okay,
yes, they
I
were.
Was in the press box and we were all watching. We were wondering who they were.
That was his parents, and I love Bob Scanlon. You know that. I don't know that I'd give him the whole inning for an interview, though. The whole inning.
Well, no, that's how they do things.
The whole inning?
Well, remember when Fernando in the spring training game where the inning was like 35
minutes? That's ESPN. That's a different thing. This is a quote sideline reporter going into the crowd interviewing two people, Jackson Merrill's parents, for the entire inning that the Giants were at bat.
So there's no Don and Mudd talking?
None.
Oh.
It was, hi, welcome back to Petco. I'm with Jackson Merrill's parents. And they did the whole interview, the whole inning. I was a little surprised by that. Now, when Eric Grubner then, the next half inning, went up into the booth, Don and Mudd interviewed him for a whole half inning, but at least they're kind of
the game.
Calling the game as they interview Eric Grubner. I think that was kind of weird, having Scanlon go a whole half inning. And I almost felt like the parents were getting a little bit like trying to look over their shoulder and watch the game as they were answering question after question after question.
Someone on YouTube says for a game in June, yes, but opening day it should, or but not for opening day. Like a game in June, yes, go for a full inning.
Maybe
opening
so.
Day.
Yeah. Well, the other thing though, this is what they do on opening day. There's all kinds of fanfare and stuff. This is why Tony Gwynn and his son don't like opening day. Because there's too much other stuff going on besides
Tomorrow
baseball.
Tomorrow is the real opening day.
Tomorrow's Tony Gwynn opening day, people.
You know what, Chris? Let's take another phone call, and then we got to get to break because we do have two more breaks.
This is my fault. I just let me go.
I just did the math.
Crazy. Kelly, welcome to the show.
I don't think it's Brandon.
Oh, Brandon. Brandon Kelly?
I don't know.
Your phone says Kelly on there. Sorry, Brandon. Hello.
Oh, all right, well, hung up.
Lost them. How about Jim in Lakeside? Jim?
Hey, guys. For your Odyssey app, try and reset your location for all the listeners out there.
Okay.
But I've kind of thought the plate discipline for Jackson on his third, I think it was his third at bat, to lay off that pitch to get the walk. I mean, for a 20-year-old on opening day, I thought that was magnificent.
Was that like a 9-pitch at bat, 8-pitch at bat, something like that?
I mean, put yourself in his place. I mean, Chris, you played at San Diego State. Can you imagine that on opening day?
Yeah, and you're facing a pretty good pitcher. I mean, Logan Webb is a Cy Young, you know, caliber guy. Jackson Merrill has shown that through three games. And I didn't look at all of his spring training at-bats because I don't place a lot of stock in that. I'm sure they do. Mike Schilt and the coaches, they look at what he's done. But what I've seen right away, this guy has the ability to have good takes, which means close pitches that he's not swinging at, and foul off pitches. He's really good at that. And thanks to Bob Scanlon's lengthy interview, his dad talked about the fact that he and Jackson, as they were working his way up, used to work on fouling off tough pitches.
See, there you go. The interview worked.
Bob Scanlon with the insight.
You just used a nugget of information.
That's right.
From it.
So, yeah, I agree with you, Jim. Merrill has done nothing to, you know, dissuade anybody from, you know, having earned this job. And, you know, terrific. I mean, he had, you know, 0-for-2, but that walk was a big deal. It was a big part of the rally deal in the seventh inning. So,
Jim, what were you saying about the app? Go ahead one more time with that.
Scraby wants to hear that again.
You can go to general settings, update your location, and then after you do that, go ahead and power cycle your phone, and it'll change from when it pinged from the last server, or sorry, the last tower.
Okay. I love this information, Jim.
That normally helps.
We need you as our tech guy all the time.
No
Thank
kidding.
You, Jim. Everybody, go into your phone right now. Go to general settings and reset your location. And then turn off your phone and turn it back on. There you go.
Jim just solved everybody's problems. Jim, you're terrific. We should give him a prize or something. That was important
that
stuff
was
right there.
Well, I
thank you, Jim.
I feel like maybe I come off a little too angry about this stuff, but I literally get asked questions.
You get asked endlessly. I mean,
endlessly.
Look, Mark Grant, you could hear him on the telecast today. When they put it up on the screen to where all the TV stuff is this year, Mark Grant said, for all you people who keep asking me in Alpine, take a picture of this.
So it's not just me?
This is the answer.
So it's not just me?
Yes. He said, I've been asked a million times and
but
didn't.
But that makes sense. He's on TV.
But he didn't know. He wasn't privy to all that information until they worked it out.
Exactly.
So you're on the radio. You should know. But you're not privy to all that stuff.
I know our schedule.
I understand
that. I know
where
to send people.
You didn't know how to work the Odyssey app, changing the tower. Took Jim and Lakeside to save the day.
Brandon also says MLB Radio is $3 a month, and you can listen to Jesse and Tony in all the games.
That's
$3 a month isn't too bad. I mean,
$21 a year.
Baseball season 7 months?
Yeah. All right. You said take a break. Clemson 54, yes. Arizona 51. So Arizona caught up. Then Clemson's gone back ahead by 3. Still 11 minutes to go. Aztecs are still at halftime trailing UConn 40-31. We're here for a while. So if you want to talk, 833-288-0973 as the Padres win opening day over the Giants 6-4 on 97.3 The Fan. Scraby and I are going absolutely crazy here. Watching the Aztecs try to get a rebound.
It's pretty brutal.
They can't get a rebound!
The guy's like 9 feet tall, Chris.
He is huge. He looks bigger than Zach Edey.
He does.
And I know he's not taller, but he's bigger. Klingon, the big center. I mean, he gets his hand on every rebound, they get the ball. The Aztecs, you know, stop them. And then they just get shot after shot after shot. Oh, my goodness. It's frustrating. It's hard to watch a team that's better than you. And you're just, you know, you're hoping against hope you can do something.
They are scratching and clawing, the Aztecs.
They're GLA-ing. They're gutty little Aztec-ing. But they're still down by 10, 16 minutes to play. 45-35, now 47-35. Meanwhile, Clemson holding off Arizona. 61-57, 8:40 to go in that game. Padres beat the Giants 6-4 opening day at Petco Park. Was a beautiful day and a beautiful scene. And the honoring of Peter Seidler was handled with class and aplomb. And then the Padres went out and played a nice ball game. Rallied from behind twice, which I like. Everybody seemed to like everything about it today, right?
I mean, it was amazing.
The way they scored runs, the way they manufactured runs. They got hits with runners in scoring position. They ran the bases incredible today. And, you know, defense was good. Pitching was good. Everything was good.
Everything
just what you
good.
Want. And Padres go to 2-1 on the season. Elsewhere, Juan Soto is the hero of the Big Apple, at least for one night. Threw out the potential tying run at the plate in the bottom of the ninth inning. all of a sudden Juan Soto, now known for his right field exploits, comes up with the play of the day for the Yankees. They hold off the Astros 5-4. Soto is 1-for-3 with an RBI in the ball game. Osvaldo Cabrera, replacing the injured DJ LeMahieu, hit a home run for the Yankees in this ball game.
All right.
So 5-4. Josh Hader pitched for the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Top of the ninth inning, struck out the side, but that just kept it a 5-4 game. So he was not in a save situation. For those of you who wonder, will Josh Hader pitch in non-save situations now that he's an Astro? Answer apparently is yes.
I mean, he did so last today. Year, but the four-out save.
Not too often. Dodgers 7-1 over the Cardinals today. This was all Dodgers from the get-go. Betts homered in the third inning. Freddie Freeman homered in the third inning. Betts already got 8 RBIs.
I know.
In 3 games. And Dodgers rolled. Glass now 6 innings, allowed just 2 hits and 1 run. The Cardinals had 3 hits in this game, all of them by Paul Goldschmidt.
Good for him.
He had them all and a home run.
So the Cardinals haven't solved their problems yet.
Not yet. Not for one day, at least.
Yeah, I guess.
The Angels got pounded by Baltimore. That despite Mike Trout's first home run of the year. Baltimore 11-3. Baltimore, Corbin Burns, in his debut 6 innings, struck out 11.
Yes, he did.
Walked none. And this Baltimore team, this is what they did during the spring training. They just scored like 10 runs every game. And they just picked up right where they left off. Minnesota beat Kansas City 4-1. Detroit shut out the White Sox 1-0. That's your opening day Major League scoreboard, with Toronto beating Tampa Bay and Cincinnati beating Washington, both by scores of 8-2. All right, we'll take a break. Daily Gambit when we come back. We still got 2 hours to go, Scrape.
I know.
Good luck.
I know.
Quinn and Chris, trying to keep you up to date on the NCAA tournament.
Let's
You're probably watching it yourself.
Yes, give us a call after the game. We'll be here.
On 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.